difficulty is, if you have a especially a WordPress site now that has a lot of moving parts, there's just a lot of openings for something to happen.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today we are joined by Jeffrey Patch, agency owner and also owner of MaintainPress, a WordPress maintenance service. We talk about the importance of WordPress maintenance, but we also really deep dive into project management and how Jeffrey balances the communications of his remote team across different platforms and softwares, but also across projects and maintenance tasks. This is a really great episode, and show notes can be found on peteeverett.com/018. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and you are joining me, Pete Everett, with this week's guest, Jeffrey Patch. Hi, Jeffrey, how are you doing?
Hello, me, Pete Everett. I am well. How are you?
Hi, you, Jeffrey Patch. Yeah, this is. I'm really good. I'm really good. Thanks, Jeff. Jeffrey and I were just chewing the fat about all things family and work and that kind of thing. And Jeffrey agreed a few weeks ago to come on the podcast. So I really appreciate your help with that, mate.
It's my pleasure. I love giving attention to anybody who thinks I'm special enough to record my voice.
Oh, it's the dulcet American tones that are going to hit the airwaves this side of the pond in the UK.
I wish I would have studied radio in college. At this point in my life, it would have been the most applicable thing I studied.
You know, when I was at school, a mate of mine and I'll give him a name drop, John Blakeburn. I don't know if he's listening to this. We decided that we were going to go and join hospital radio and cruise the airwaves of the NHS in the UK. And we never did it. We always chickened out. Every time we thought we were going to get there, we set off. We actually once decided, you know, planned, right, this is what we're going to do. This is who we're going to meet. This is what we're going to say. And we never did it. We always chickened out.
I've always had this, I shouldn't say passion, but like this desire to be in radio. I have no idea why, but I've had thousands of passions and desires over time. So I guess that's not saying very much.
So, some people say I have a face for radio, which I'll take that. I'll take that.
Hopefully not the missus.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't most of the time.
She's all that matters.
So Jeffrey is an agency owner, and he also runs a service called MaintainPress. And Jeff, why don't you sort of take the intro away before I kill it?
Oh, no, you can't kill anything about me. You could probably only build me up better than I could do myself. Well, as Pete said, I'm an agency owner. I have a very small agency, I will say. Yeah, that's not the biggest part of our business, but we've kind of pivoted into a productized service in a sense with MaintainPress, where we focus on white label WordPress maintenance and customer support for agencies, as well as kind of smaller level freelancers and digital creatives. That's been a really really big pivot for us this last about year and a half or two. Well, we still kind of balance a few client projects here and there, and we're on the fence whether or not we're picking that up lately, but it's been kind of a fun evolution, especially this last, I'd say, 9 months or so.
Cool. So you're really specializing down onto WordPress maintenance, WordPress updates, the security stuff, and the sort of content updates as well, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's, if you cruise like the Facebook groups and stuff, I mean, that's like the number one kind of business thing right now, and I'm kind of kicking myself that I really didn't get serious about this a few years earlier. But the truth of the matter is the first, I'd say, roughly 10 years or so of my, you know, quote unquote career, and you know, being an entrepreneur and, you know, freelancer or whatever you want to call it at the time. But I worked for many, many agencies as a contractor, and what I ended up seeing was none of them got these, you know, care plans is kind of the popular word these days, excuse me, but nobody really ever got these in place. And over time, while I was still kind of kicking around as a mid-level developer, thankfully I had a kind of a salary to fall back on at the time. But, you know, as I was still kind of just dragging along with different agencies, I started watching them just fall apart and, you know, close up shop and everything. And it's because all they focused on was the big projects that, as you know, I mean, they can take what, anywhere from a day to 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, 6 months is pretty low, I would say. If I finish most projects in 6 months, it'd be a good thing. But just from those pain points I kept seeing over and over again, we just kind of developed a service that made sense to the few that were still around, thankfully. Mm. And, now obviously we're making relationships with tons of business owners, which has been really fun. But we just, I figured that was what I did best. And I'd already spent all the time, kind of developing the systems and the processes, which of course are always evolving. But I put so much into that. I said, I don't love designing websites. I love maintaining them. I love tweaking them. I love, building new features, and I love solving problems. But, I'm not the best designer, and, I can hire that out. But, let's get a little more targeted. And it's, everybody says, right? You have to niche down or niche down, whatever dialect we're using today. But now you get to the point you go, yeah, should have listened sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll drop a link to your website in the show notes. But, if you look around on Jeffrey's website, you can see exactly what it is that he does. When he talks about niching down, he really has niched down literally every page of the website. Who your target audience is, what it is exactly you do, what they're going to get, how much it's going to cost them. It's just so, so simple and so easy. And actually, I guess for some of the guys listening to the podcast that may be more marketing consultancy led, it's always good advice to give your clients to say, look, your WordPress install needs to be up to date. It needs to be backed up. The security patches need to be on there.
It's amazing now. And I hate to use fear mongering with clients, it's going to get hacked. And a lot of people do. But the reality is, if you have especially a WordPress site now that has a lot of moving parts, there's just a lot of openings for something to happen. And when you look at some of the big plugins out there now that are being used on hundreds of thousands of websites, they're coming out with vulnerabilities all the time that are getting discovered. Gravity Forms. These are things that you just expect to work, right? Mm. And so you can't just say, we use expensive software on it, because even the big ones, and I don't mean to knock Gravity Forms, there's plenty of other ones that have had issues. I think Contact Form 7, which is a free one that like everybody uses, yeah. I'm not trying to pinpoint any plugin author or company. It's just, hey, these things happen. And, there's mean people out there that like to find these problems and then they share them across. And next thing you know, your website's a target. So that's kind of what happens these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I know your service isn't, it's not mega expensive per month because that's not your business model. But you know what, if you're spending, $100 a month or whatever it is, or you're thinking about spending $100 a month, just if something goes wrong, that is the best $100 you've just spent, just right there, to be able to go to somebody who knows what they're doing and say, yeah, this isn't right. Can you go sort it out for me?
It's almost like an insurance policy in a sense. You don't want to promise that to everybody. Oh, no matter what, it's just like you said, if there's a problem, you've got somebody there, And I just reached out to a client who I honestly haven't heard from him in, I think, about 13 months. I said, man, I feel really bad. I don't think you're really utilizing our service enough. I'd like to give you a little credit or, do a little bonus work for you in the next couple of months. And he was just like, I don't get money back for my insurance policy, Jeff. What are you talking about? okay, thanks.
And you see right there is the point where Jeff is such a nice guy that he's giving work away to people that haven't used their time allowance. So I love that. That's great.
Well, I'm a frugal guy and I like to get the most for my money, so I am happy to spend my money. I just hate to waste my money.
Yeah, that's true. And we're all in business to make money. But they Simon Sinek talks about money not being the result. It's a byproduct. And actually, the result of doing business is your fulfillment and why, understanding your why you want to be in business. And if you're hitting that nail on the head with what you're saying there.
Yep. Yeah, you have to know your why. And I think not to hijack that thought, but for me, I spent so much time as a, it's kind of a I'd say young, but you know, growing older every day. You know, often single or dating around, kind of entrepreneur, just doing his own thing. And it wasn't until these last couple of years where I met my significant other, and she brought two wonderful kids from a previous relationship. And now that we have a family and we live together, it's, you know, the business started to work better too, because I know my why now, and my why wasn't, I just want to make money and I want to, you know, have a BMW, which of course, I crashed into a million pieces, but
you know, I saw that on Facebook.
Shiny things can go away, but you know, love and happiness and fulfillment does not. So, you know, for me, it really just became a point, or excuse me, not a point, but a focus on, I want to live a happy life. I don't want to drive into an office anymore. And, you know, we need to survive and do what we need to do as a, you know, be a responsible socially responsible family that pays their bills and stuff. But, you know, neither of us now have these big dreams of, you know, giant houses and fancy cars and everything. And we just want to have a happy family, and that supports itself with our own businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. My youngest son started school today. And he's four, and he's only doing half days for a week or so. But the last week or 10 days or so, we've had him at home, and my eldest son Isaac. He started school a week or so back, and my wife now she works with us in our agency, and it's just been great that we've been able to give her the flexibility to look after the little one. She, when Isaac went to school, she was in a proper job. She, I say a proper job, inverted commas. You know, she worked for somebody else. She had that stress, that pressure. She had to take some leave that had to fit around other people in the office. It was just we managed it, but it was so much harder than this time has been. And that's where this kind of entrepreneurial life is so much more than the money that you make. It is the lifestyle, it's the quality, it's the time that you get to spend with your kids. And also the example, I think, that you set to your children. You know, none of us are scared of doing a long day's work. But then on the same note, when time comes the other way and things don't have to be quite so pressured, you know what, we can spend a bit more time. I can go and pick them up from school and they'll see daddy a bit more. So yeah, it's definitely, if you can set your life up and your work up in such a way that you can support yourself and you don't have the dreams of the biggest house in town. And I did see a picture of your smashed BMW, which made me wince because I actually drive a BMW as well. And I was thinking, oh, that could have been me. but that, yeah, it pays you back in so many other ways is really the point I'm trying to make.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge gift that I think I don't know if we've been given or we designed it, however you want to look at it, but I know we're very appreciative of it. And now I just got to work on getting the kids to understand what you said, because I think those are really good points that I'm not quite sure they quite follow that, you know. They might be getting a little spoiled by having us home every day and not realizing what it's like to have to go to an after-school program or, you know, walk to somewhere, you know, like I did when I was a kid. I didn't see my parents until 9 o'clock at night. My mom would get home from work sometimes, and you know, I've already had to do my homework and all my chores, and it's a different day. It's a different time of
I know, absolutely, absolutely. Was it you that put on social media the other day that, you know, our kids now live in a world where they've got 300 channels on the TV and Netflix and Amazon Prime, and then they come to you with an iPad and say, Dad, there's nothing to watch?
No, that wasn't me. I've seen that, though. No, now ours are really diving into YouTube, which is, I was really happy at first because they're both kind of like, you know, those kids, they're at the age in a child's life where they're still really curious about like really nerdy science stuff and, you know, learning all the reptiles and all that stuff. So they've been like just diving deep into YouTube on all these nature shows and all this stuff, because we canceled cable and all that stuff. But then the other night I walked in the living room and the older one was watching some like tinfoil hat conspiracy thing. And I'm like, okay, get off of YouTube.
Yeah, there is so something, what's the expression? There is too much of a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and they have no idea what's real or fake, you know. And I actually went to college for journalism, was my major. And so I finished that right at the age of, I don't want to start getting into politics, but all this fake news crap and all that stuff, you know. So I purposely didn't get into journalism because I realized it was such kind of a disgusting world. And really, I should have had the attitude of I should, you know, enter that world and try to change it. But that wasn't my my path. But I know how easy it is for somebody that, you know, ignorant in a sense that, you know, she's a child still and doesn't know how to research things, but they see the wrong information and they go down rabbit holes and they'll never get that out of their head.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So can I just then, we'll just pivot this just a little bit. So you've mentioned, obviously, you're basically home-based. You've, you work with a team. So I take it there's obviously more than you that work for Maintain Press. So how do you interface across your team and sort of how widely spread is that?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a fun time because we're starting to really hit some growth here. And I've been really lucky to keep my circle very close. I had Stephanie, my significant other, I mentioned. I've had her helping out at the very beginning with a lot of the administration and just getting, you know, all your business stuff in order. At the time she wanted to start working remotely as well. And, you know, I kind of said, all right, help me with this. And, you know, maybe we can find you some VA work. And she's ended up working for, I mean, entrepreneurs that I'm just, you know, I'm like worshiping the ground they walk on. I mean, she's kind of in this, it sounds a little silly if you knew who they were, because there are all these female entrepreneurs that really have that that niche down. And I'm in some of their groups as like one of the only men in any of the groups. But I'm like, yeah, it's okay. What's up, ladies?
It's all right. Just put a wig on. They'll ignore the beard. It'll be fine.
Yeah, they don't seem to mind me, you know. Plus, I've become the token nerd for all their WordPress problems and stuff, which is fun. But you know, so she's built this business that actually has surpassed Maintain Press, if I'm being honest, just, you know, between some of her awesome clients, which is amazing. So she's kind of half in, half out at this moment. But then I actually, like I said, I'm really lucky to keep it close. My sister does some work with us. And then I'm in the, I probably can't get into too many details, but I'm in the process right now of kind of negotiating with a really close friend to kind of grow our working relationship a bit too. So, and then we have a couple other contractors that work in various capacities, but we've been pretty lucky to keep it all relatively local. Although I think our next step is to start expanding the network just so we can kind of cover more time zones and have a little bit more availability for our clients.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, Jeffrey and I are both part of the WP Innovator Group that's led by Lee Jackson, and I posted something in there the other day because we've been working with some of our project management tools, and we've got a remote team, and our remote team actually does include a number of family members as well, but they're on both my side and the side of Steve, who's my business partner. We've been using a mixture of Asana and Trello for our project management. And I put this thing up about, I had this sort of legacy thought about Basecamp, because Basecamp for years was like the industry benchmark, wasn't it? And I had this kind of, I didn't know whether it was just me being nostalgic and thinking, oh, life was so much easier when we used to use Basecamp. But Basecamp's pricing's changed, and it's frankly just a bit too, it just seems to be overpriced now for what you get. So I put this comment up, and you came back with some very helpful advice about ClickUp and Slack, and then hijacked my thread to basically have your internal office discussions, which was fine. But how, you know, so you recommended ClickUp. So what, how do you use your software to manage projects through your agency / Maintain Press? How does that work?
Okay, how much time do we have? Because we're about to go down a rabbit hole that I'm not sure we're ever going to get out of, but I'm really looking forward to it.
The next appointment is your kids need to go to school. So if you want to make them late, then you're up for it.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I love how you said we hijacked it, because I think I totally did. I was like, see, I'm a little crazy, and like I get this manic, these manic episodes, and I get super passionate about something, and I can't stop. So, you know, I have no idea if this is some, you know, undiagnosed, you know, disorder or whatever, but I'm going to use it as a benefit for me. I'm actually reading a book about using things like this as a benefit. So when I get crazy about something, dude, I just get crazy about something. And I have to admit and give all credit to Stephanie, because like 3 months ago, she said, hey, have you heard about this ClickUp thing? And I'm like, no, so it must not be worth it. If I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. I know that. I was a bit like that. Click what? Click up. Click where? Click what?
Yeah. Do you know how much time I spend on the internet, Stephanie? You know, it's kind of my attitude. And do you know the circles I run in, Stephanie? It was, you know, and I, gosh, I'm so arrogant sometimes. And obviously I did not say that to her, but that was kind of my internal attitude. And I think I had that because I had this high and mighty attitude about using teamwork projects, which I'm going to give them credit for giving me a very generous and entire year free as a startup program. We kind of snuck in right at the end of our first year as a startup, and they were like, yeah, no problem. Here's a free year. We really want to hook you on this. We're going to give you everything. And then like a month later, they kind of changed everything. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, it's still free though. And then we started using Teamwork Desk for their support tickets. And that's where I think we really started to hit a stride, because we could now start sharing our inbox essentially, and then also providing white label inboxes to our clients. Mm. And it was relatively affordable. I did have to start paying for it, but it was still pretty affordable. Like I said, it did what it did, and it was easy enough. It didn't do it in a manner that we ever really started to enjoy using. Like I wouldn't log in every day. And I find that's, I don't know if it's just user experience or whatever, but you know, sometimes when you enjoy something, you use it, right? And I'm realizing, well, if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not using it. And I think we really started to slip away from it and just, you know, hop into chat and say, hey, can you do this? Rather than assigning it as a task. And it's just, you know, and the more I started delegating those responsibilities too, and then having these conversations like, hey, why isn't this getting done? You know, and I realize I'm, I also wasn't getting it done either. So I'm not harping on you, but eventually we all just said, we just don't like it. Like we just kind of feel weird about it when we're in there, you know? And it's, I don't know. It's really powerful. It does everything we could ever need it to do. It just didn't quite ever fit.
I could relate to that. We use teamwork projects for a while as well. And in fact, we've still got some legacy projects in there. And that's absolutely fine. But I know what you mean. It just sort of, it does everything, but it feels like it needs to show you that it does everything all of the time. And I completely resonate with where you're coming out with that.
Yep. I kept getting lost in different panels and, you know, didn't know which project I was in. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a smart guy. I know how this stuff works. I should feel comfortable. And maybe I would have if I would have spent some more time in there. Who knows? But I popped in a ClickUp, and within like 30 seconds, I just was like, this is it. This, oh my goodness, this does exactly the way my jumbled, messed up, crazy, manic brain thinks. Like, this is going to work. I think that probably stems from the fact that we just handle so many unique projects and unique different type of tasks for clients, where, you know, a certain agency that's really got one project flow down, you know, they could have that in a template and they can go in and check off each thing as, you know, done and, or, you know, assigned and done. And that's how most project management systems work I've seen. But what I thought was really cool with ClickUp was you could customize your statuses, and I think we're using the statuses and I don't think it's a unique way, although it's not probably what most people are used to. So if you've ever seen a Trello board, you know, where it has like, you know, to do, doing, done, and, you know, backlog or something, you know, that you can kind of drag them across a board. Mm-hmm. Well, you can use that same workflow with statuses in ClickUp, which also mirror on a board for you. So, you know, when I click the first step in a task, it moves it over to doing. So now my entire team can look at that board and see, all right, someone's doing that. And, you know, obviously when I'm done with that, I can click the next one and it goes into review status. And I don't have to do anything other than just click that I'm moving on to the next step. So now everybody can see, oh, hey, look, that's in review status. And we're, you know, we don't have a ton of people in there. There's not a lot of moving parts, so it's not that big of a deal, but I'm trying to build this in the sense or in the manner that will scale very well, because every bit of growth we have, it's, you know, it's, oh my gosh, we just double our clients that month, or we're doubling another agency partner's roster this month. So we need to be very agile in the sense that we need to scale quickly when needed. Mm. And I'm realizing, you know, very quickly with this that, well, when a task goes into review status, we can now tag, you know, whoever decides that or whoever is required to, you know, review these and move those on to the next one. So it makes it much more collaborative. It makes it much more flexible. And, for your, you know, your other projects that maybe don't fit that exact workflow, you can change everything in each product or in each project or in each task list or even in each, I think, maybe even task. I'm not, nah, maybe not quite that detailed, but I, you know, I'm probably running in circles here trying to explain it verbally, seeing as they record videos and, you know, all these great tutorials and stuff. But it's just, it's just such a agile platform and such a simple, really nice UI that you can mold to fit your exact workflow. And I realized once I did that, and I'm telling you, I did this in like 15 minutes of working with it. I hit all of these, you know, kind of aha moments, excuse me, to where I was able to go back, look at it and went, this is it, we're done, we don't need to do anything else. And it just, it understood my workflow because I was able to put that onto screen really fast. And without that manner, you know, I'm looking back at all the other systems we've had to use over and over and over again, I realized it's because we were restricted to their workflows, we were restricted to their setup. It didn't quite play nicely with ours or how my brain works when we want to, you know, build out these projects. So, you know, anyway, I know that that's totally a long, very probably way confusing explanation. Now no one's ever going to want to check out ClickUp, but I assure you, please go give it a, I think it's a free trial for like, no, actually it's not a free trial, it's a free plan with up to like 100 megabytes of space, but it's full featured. So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't care. I just paid for it. I said, this is awesome. But, I mean, I get the sense that the free plan is more than sufficient as long as you don't need to store a bunch of files. So, check it out before that gets any more expensive, because I really think that's going to be with us for many years to come.
You know, off the back of that chat, because there was you, there was another couple of guys that were mentioning ClickUp as well. I went and signed up for a free account, and I've already turned it into a premium account. And the thing that got it for me, the thing that hit me off sending that post in the first place, was that we run retainers for clients. And they can come along, and some of the tasks can be quite large and are almost mini projects, and others come along and they're just small pieces of work that need to be done, but they need to be done quite timely. And the problem I had with like teamwork, or the problem I had with Asana, was that those small tasks, you either had to give them the same importance as a big task or they'd fall through the net. There wasn't a place where you could just have like client pool and these are the jobs that need to be done. And with ClickUp, because it takes it one step higher than that, you have spaces. So spaces have projects within them, and then projects have lists within them, and then the lists have tasks. It gives you that freedom to be able to almost expedite small pieces of work through on a platform that can handle big pieces of work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think I'm in the same boat as you as how we're setting it up, in the sense that, you know, I have a space for all of our ongoing work that we're going to need, which is, you know, you mentioned retainers. I'm, in this sense, I'm using it as our agency partner clients.
Yep.
So, you know, each agency partner has their own project in that space. And inside each project, each website that we manage for them is its own list. So now any of our, you know, our reps that are checking emails and getting requests from our clients, they can assign that directly to the specific agency partner and the specific website that it needs to be filed under. And then that way we can go back and, you know, we know exactly who they are, where their website is, what we do on that website. I mean, so we can organize it from the very beginning, and it just saves all that confusing stuff down the road. You know, they don't even really need to be into the project management system. They can just do that from the Chrome browser or whatnot. So it's just giving us so much more opportunity to get organized and to see work moving across the playing field like it should be, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if I can just highlight this and maybe pivot this thing just a little bit more. Then when we were talking, you then mentioned that you also then run this in partnership with Slack as well, don't you? Which is essentially a communications platform.
Yeah, you know, I used Slack, and I think probably everybody at this point sees Slack in some capacity, but I've used it for a long time with different agencies I've worked with as a contractor, and I never really got it set up for our own internal use, because we were basically 100% into Teamwork, and we just started using Teamwork Chat. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I mean, it's fine, it solves a need. It's not, I don't really enjoy it as much, but I'm sure if I focused on it more, I could have figured it out better. But yeah, so now with Slack, you know, you can integrate with everything. I mean, that's one of the nice things about a lot of these new tools, is they know as business owners, as marketers, as whatever you want to call yourself, you are using 17 different tools and stacks and plugins on your website, you know, and thanks to Zapier and various APIs, we can basically talk to anything at any point. So yeah, we actually have every, or I actually have every single thing that happens in ClickUp right now being sent to its own channel in our Slack. it's ridiculous. I told everybody, I said, mute this. I don't want your phones going off 24 hours a day. Don't listen to this channel. We're going to mute this channel. But it's like a running log of just every single thing we've done. And I don't know if we need it, but for now, we're going to do it. And we do the same thing with our uptime monitors and security scans. And there's a channel for all of that. So anything that happens to a website or anything that might be happening in a project, it's getting sent to Slack. So, you know, anybody can tune in at any time and you know, void their inbox and just kind of pop in and see what's going on. And, you know, hey, if they need to, really dive into it, those integrations are so nice that you just click the chat link and it takes you right to the task. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, I'm rediscovering Slack a little bit at the moment because there's a little bit of a generational gap between myself and my business partner. And so some of the stuff that we were suggesting when we initially set up the agency, when we were quite a small team, it was just kind of overkill. And things like Slack, there were certain people in our organization, they just didn't get on with it. They didn't really understand it. They didn't want to learn how hashtags work or backslashes or any of that kind of stuff. They just couldn't really be bothered. So it didn't really get off the ground. But as our team has started to grow, and we, as I say, we are a remote team, particularly as I'm now interfacing more back with developers, which is where I used to, you know, I used to be a developer as well. You know, a platform like Slack is now starting to pick up into its own space. It's not covering the whole team yet, and I don't think, to be honest, in our situation it ever will. But actually, with something like a platform like ClickUp that can handle a good chunk of the project management, and then you can have that discussion level over the top when it comes to the development side of things, we're now starting to hit a stride that is more complete and more managed than it was before. I was having to do a lot of the legwork to manage it previously, which is really where my frustration came. And I think, touch wood, we're trialing it with a number of projects. But to be honest, for the past 4 days, I've put a new project in ClickUp every day and linked it to a Slack channel. I think we are sort of adopting it by simply the fact that we're using it and it is working.
Well, I think you hit on a good point there, and you said because you're using it, right, or something along those lines. And it's that same exact thought, basically. That's what it comes down to. We're using it more, and that's what we want to use. You know, we enjoy it, so we're going to use it, and we're going to pay for it, and boom, we're in. And, you know, everything I said, I know there's going to be, like, at least one person that's going to chime in the comment somewhere and be like, well, you can do that in Asana. Yeah, probably, but you know what? I don't want to. I've been in Asana. In Asana, I will admit, it's pretty nice. It's just the same thing like you mentioned. To me, every task felt like it had the same priority no matter what. And I didn't like seeing little tiny things in there because it seemed like you could just skip over them. But then I did end up skipping over big things. So I don't know why my brain works that way. But hey, there's a whole bunch of people that are just getting on board with it. But, you know, just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean you need to do it either, guys.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I take it you're not using that side of things to allow clients to see any of their work, are you?
Not yet. I think I'd like to. I'd really, really like to. And that's something we've never done. We've kind of relied on basically, you know, on email, which is fine. You know, it works well with the support side of things. I love having everything down. But I would like to at least have clients be able to be notified of, you know, small tasks like that, because this may be more of an appearances thing, but I kind of want a few people to realize how much work actually gets done on their site. And not so much the maintenance side of things, because we have a really, really wonderful roster of agency partners. And then as a result, their clients are just wonderful people. Like, they're just all great. But just some of the, like, agency projects we still take, or, you know, client-facing projects we still take, I feel like some of them, that, you know, the pizza shop owners, if you will, I keep using an imaginary pizza shop owner as an example in some of my videos. videos and stuff, but you know, the ones that don't really understand what it is that we do day in and day out and don't realize how much work it is to sometimes even just say create a new form on their site, you know, I mean, it's, I know that doesn't sound like much, but it's harder than they make it think, or than, or excuse me, it's harder than they realize always. So I think if we were able to bring in people so they could start seeing the way that these workflows go and just the amount of tasks they could assign to complete their projects, I think it would actually set your agency up in a manner that says, hey, look, we communicate, we're transparent, and we don't shy away from hard work. You know, and I think clients need to see that because there's this disconnect in that. So I'm hoping very soon, if I remember their roadmap was like next month, maybe it was this month, actually, September 2018, that they're hopefully launching like guest access, so you don't have to pay, you know, all that money for a seat just to have a client on there. Because they're not going to be assigning tasks or things like that. They're just going to be watching some, hopefully. So I don't know. We'll see how that all evolves and works out. I'd like to implement that a little bit more. As of now, I think we're putting a little more stock into just communicating and figuring out some automations and integrations between our email setup and whatnot so that we can just notify clients. You know, there's a little disconnect between people who do chat and then, you know, developers or maybe doing actual work. So we're still kind of clarifying all of that. It's been, oddly enough, a fun growing experience.
Yeah, I know what you, I know what you mean. It's, we use Client Portal for our web projects. So whilst there is a little bit of duplication, we've set templates up in Client Portal that basically follow our major milestones. So Client Portal only really gets updated when the client needs to see something, i.e. artwork proofs or development proofs or whatever it may be. So whilst there's we've set templates up so that we limit the amount of duplication we have to do, but actually we've always run one system that's client facing and another system that's internal. So really there's not much difference in our process when it comes to managing that. But I think it's also healthy from an agency point of view to sometimes be forced to reassess your processes and say, look, is this actually working for us? It needs to work for our clients. It needs to deliver what they're expecting, or more than they're expecting. But then on the same note, it needs to work for us internally. And if it isn't, then if it's not ticking both of those boxes, then maybe we should think about looking at something else.
Yeah, and well, you know, for better or worse, there's a lot of options in any space out there in this day and age. So we are not short on choices.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that was evident from the thread that was in Facebook. It had something like 70 odd comments, which if you take your 25 out for your internal chat, that still leaves about 40 odd comments to do with project management. So
somebody must have put something in my coffee that morning, and I just kept going all day long. You know, I think that was at like midnight my time too. I was probably laying in bed just going, you know, typing, and Steph's probably like, what are you doing? Get off Facebook. I can hear you angry typing over there. But no, I'm not angry typing. I'm passionate typing.
you see, yeah, we'd never have a discussion like that at midnight because it'd be like, just go to bed. just get that light out of the room and go to bed.
She's a saint dealing with me. I have the world's worst insomnia. So it's every conversation in the morning is, how much sleep did you get last night? I go, I don't know, a couple hours maybe.
Oh, crikey.
But I get a lot of work done in the middle of the night, so that's fun too.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, the phone's not ringing at that time and Slack's probably a little quieter too. All right, mate. Well, look, I know you got to take your kids to school because you've been very kind in coming on the podcast before the school run, which is dedication beyond where I would go, that's for sure.
Well, it's my pleasure. And we were just talking about insomnia and stuff. And I'm glad it was a night that I just woke up nice and refreshed and said, let's do this. Get up a little early, hit that UK time. I love it.
Well, if it's any consolation, you know, it'll be bedtime here in about 7 hours. So when you get there, just think, right, well, let's switch to some British summertime for a few days and see if you get a bit more sleep.
No, that's not a consolation at all. Now I'm just jealous that it's not bedtime because I'm really looking forward to bed already.
And with that thought, ladies and gentlemen, we'll wish Jeffrey goodbye. Cheers. Cheers, Jeff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pete. Have a good day. Or, I'm sorry, a good night, my friend.
It was only after we finished recording that I realised that I hadn't asked Jeffrey where people could get in touch with him. Jeffrey's website is maintain.press, and there's links to all of his social profiles on his website, and he's also a member of the Marketing Development Podcast group, which you can find at peteeverett.com/group. Thanks again for your time, Jeffrey. We had a blast. I'd love to talk to you again sometime real soon. Next week, we're talking to Alexia Leachman about how she's turned her life into a multi-entrepreneurial journey. It's really a great story, and I look forward to seeing you then.